Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans as a part of the Armchair Media Network. The rookie receiver renaissance is here to stay. It is I, Rob Paul, the Armchair Scout, a.k.a. the number one John Elway / Drew Locke apologist. And with me, as always, is AJ Slayzone Marchese.
Call me Buzz Lightyear, baby.
Today, we're going to break down the best and worst rookie performances from Week 14 of the NFL. Then we'll preview and pick this week's slate of NFL matchups. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Going out to Vegas, maybe. Looking for a young or a 2-0. Don't draft a running back on the first day. Don't draft a running back on the second day. Maybe draft one on the third. Or don't. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Let's talk about sex, baby. Good sex. Now you can increase your performance and get the extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through like a good golf swing. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. No in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. It's like I've never read this before. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's, again, BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Promo code ARMCHAIR to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring Seven Rounds in Heaven.
And that's us. We are Seven Rounds in Heaven. And, per usual, let's talk about a couple more Senior Bowl acceptances.
Whoa.
It's exciting. The roster will be officially finalized in 5 days.
That's crazy.
December 17th, Daniel Jeremiah will be doing the official reveal, which I think it's just basically we find out the quarterbacks at that point because everything else seems to like be...
pretty much set.
Yeah. Like, I mean, of course, a couple are still trickling in. Like, we've got five more today, but it feels like they're kind of saving the quarterbacks. I don't know if that's just how it's played out, but like it feels that way at this point. But because other than Anthony Gordon, obviously no acceptances have been announced, and I can't imagine that, like, if they're gonna have seven more quarterbacks that all they haven't had any more acceptances.
Yeah, they're saving for the big live stream.
I'm gonna be tuning in.
What time is it? Do you remember?
It's like 2 p.m.
I think you're right, yeah.
It was a strange time.
Should have been prime time on NFL Network.
It should. They should make a whole show out of it. It's a Tuesday at 2 p.m. It's a little bit strange.
I mean, if the selection show can be in, like, the, you know, college football playoff show can be, like, an hour long, Why can't this be?
True, I guess, but the college football playoff show is 4 hours long.
Sorry, I didn't mean the big one. The big one, I get it, because you need that break in between. Let everything settle in, you know? And then Rush announced the bowl games, whatever.
Okay, on to our Senior Bowl acceptances. Starting all defensive players, by the way. Mm-hmm. Starting with a defensive lineman, Ole Miss's Benito Jones, who I've heard talk about him on and off for, I guess, a year and a half-ish now. Mm-hmm. I wasn't wowed when I watched his tape. He's a big guy, though. He's like 6'1", 330, so like a one-tech nose type. It's a little underwhelming.
poor Benito. But I agree with you. The group is so good.
That's why. Like, I think most years, like, Benito Jones being the eighth interior defensive line, like, you wouldn't, like, bat an eyelash at it. Is that a saying?
Yep, it is.
Why? That's a good question. So I think that's part of my qualm with it.
Yeah, they need their big guy.
He's going to come in and be the star of the show. I love a big nose tackle, but I prefer when they're from a small school. That's all I'm saying.
It's a good take. I like that take.
Kalen Saunders.
Who's next, Rob?
Okay. The Ohio State linebacker, Malik Harrison. That's a guy.
Are you surprised
that he's there?
Yeah.
No, because I've mentioned it before. I don't think it's a great linebacker class, mm-hmm. Especially in terms of just seniors.
Yeah, I'm a little. You're right, though. I was a little surprised, but I'm happy he's there because it's a guy I like.
Yeah, we both like him. He's playing obviously in the playoff. It's funny because that Ohio State defense is so much better this year. And obviously the secondary and the defensive line have got a ton of hype. The linebackers are rarely talked about.
That's true, yeah.
Which it's Malik Harrison, Tuff Borland, Baron Browning, and Pete Werner. But Malik Harrison's kind of the leader of that linebacker core. Mm-hmm. And very productive.
Yeah, very much so. If you watch an Ohio State game at any point the last couple of years, he's always been
The last 2 years, he's been like the best linebacker.
Yep.
And I'm pretty excited to see him there. Like, he's interesting. He's got some length. He's put on he's gotten thicker and stronger.
Yeah, he has.
They list him at 6'3", 240. For a bigger guy, I think he moves pretty well in space. So, again, seeing him line up with tight ends and running backs, that'll be huge for him. I think he's, like, kind of a sneaky senior linebacker to watch as we inch closer in, not a great linebacker class.
I agree.
Especially, I'm pretty excited for the linebacker group in Mobile because it's a bunch of guys that you've seen the flashes. We talked about Zach Bond last episode. We talk about Troy Dye all the time.
Yeah,
guys like that where I think it'll really, like, clear up how we view this linebacker group heading into the actual draft. Because really, after Dylan Moses and Isaiah Simmons, I personally think it's very wide open. I know, like, obviously, depending on who declares, like, Kenneth Murray's played himself very much so into that top five conversation at linebacker. But it's still, again, very open, and, like, Marcus Bailey would have been a really nice player to see, but obviously he got injured. I'm still wondering if he'll declare or head back to Purdue. To me, after that,
it's wide open. I agree with you.
I'm excited. Like, Davion Taylor and Jordan Brooks, that's two more. I was just checking. I couldn't remember some of the Senior Bowl linebackers. Like, that's two more really interesting linebackers. And it's, I think, a very athletic group this year, too. Mm-hmm. Raw and athletic. Okay. Just sticking with that Ohio State defense, my guy, Damon Arnette, officially
who we talked about a lot yesterday.
He's done so much for himself from the hype he had as a sophomore to now.
Yep, absolutely.
Because I remember because he was a high recruit into Ohio State and they produced a lot of DBs, obviously, that he had a ton of hype kind of
entering last year, was it?
And the year before, like just for the future, before really.
That. And yeah.
And it never really all came together. I mean, Kendall Sheffield also had that type of hype. And then everyone was like, Jeff Okuda's really the guy you should be paying attention to, and that was true. But Arnett, I think seeing him, because he's so physical and just the brings that type of swagger that you love to see in a corner. I'm very excited to see him. This is a really fun corner and receiver group in Mobile. I think one of the best, if not the best.
In the last
that I've few seen. Years.
Yeah, for sure.
Because adding to that corner group, LSU's Christian Fulton, who is a guy many believe can be a first-round pick. A top 30 player on my board. And that just, there's so much talent. And, like, seeing a guy like him who, again, top five corner, and, like, it's a really good corner group, but it's especially interesting because of the seniors. Like, guys like, obviously, Bryce Hall's hurt, but Bryce Hall, Christian Fulton, Trevon Diggs. Like, it's an impressive group of seniors. Jeff Gladney, too. I don't want to miss on our boy. But yeah, and I think again, Mobile is going to be a place where you really see where these guys, just especially with corners and receivers, where they lack skill or really possess it, especially with, in terms of footwork and fluidity and just pressed man technique and things like that.
And yeah, the receiver group is pretty, like, lots of those guys are pretty polarizing or slept on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I lied earlier when I said there's five Senior Bowl guys. There's only four. I can't count.
But you can clown around.
But there are three big PA Bowl gets.
Whoa.
Washington receiver Aaron Fuller, Michigan State receiver Darrell Stewart, and Maryland safety Antoine Brooks Jr.
Brooks, the latest to be announced, and a guy that I think we both liked at points.
I think he is one of the best safeties around the line of scrimmage in the whole class. He's basically like a linebacker. I think a guy who his success in the NFL will be so dependent on scheme and how he's deployed. If you use him like how the Packers used to use Morgan Burnett, I think you're getting a really nice football player in Antoine Brooks. He's obviously got athleticism questions and coverage questions, but play him around the line of scrimmage, like a dime linebacker role, and I think you've got a really nice bit player there.
No, yeah, he looks really interesting. Flipping to Fuller, I think a guy we both liked quite a bit in the summer.
Some people said he was definitely a top 10 receiver entering the regular season, which I don't think either of us were there with him.
No, both fans of his, though.
Yeah, like, it's a top 20 receiver. But he definitely didn't have the year that many expected him to have. Especially gaining Jacob Eason and not really taking another step forward. But a guy who I'm surprised he's not at the East-West Shrine Game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
But
it's a good PA Bowl.
It really is. It's just a really good draft class. Because, like, think about it. We keep saying how great the PA Bowl is, how great the Senior Bowl is, and the East-West Shrine Game is. Because it's just a good group of seniors. But Fuller's a guy who I still, like, I can't imagine a guy with that type of route running upside and body control doesn't get drafted. But again, the receiver group last year was so strange. So when it's so deep like this, who knows?
It's true.
And then Darrell Stewart's kind of I comp him to like a Quincy Enunwa type of slot receiver, like big, physical. Like almost like a power forward in the slot. Testing is going to be everything for a guy like that, though.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, before we move to NFL rookie talk, two new declarations, both big, both potential top 60 picks. Utah State quarterback Jordan Love and Arizona State running back Eno Benjamin.
Jordan Love is the big one, Rob, because, I mean, there was obviously the rumors about him potentially transferring to a bigger school, Texas Tech, Houston, Oklahoma potentially on that list. But him coming out is going to be so interesting because I think you know the name who we think is going to fall in love with him now, but I think it's going to happen. I think someone's going to fall in love with him, but the draft season for him is just going to be so, so interesting.
Chris Ballard's already in love with him. We all know it.
That's what I was alluding to.
The really, really interesting thing with Jordan Love is because I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be graduated.
He'll be
Senior Bowl eligible. And that makes this Senior Bowl group even more exciting.
It does.
And that's a place where a guy like him, because last year he was so great when Matt Wells was with him at Utah State, and obviously there was a big drop this year. 17 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. That's a pretty tough ratio for a GM to sell an owner and everybody on. But when you watch him, he clearly has all the physical skills to be a really impressive NFL passer. Currently my fourth quarterback. And like, I fully think, I tweeted yesterday that I thought he'll be the fourth quarterback off the board, just because the NFL's going to love the physical tools.
I think so too. And I mean, again, we talk about Eason coming out. It's going to be an interesting debate between the two of them almost. Like, I think
Love I don't think over Eason comes out.
I don't think so either. It doesn't look like it. But I'm just saying, if so, it's an interesting debate. And I agree. I think Love's going to be the fourth quarterback. Because like we talked about yesterday.
If I'm gambling on Eason and Love, I would rather take Love.
Yeah, I've Love over Eason, but I think there'd be a debate for some teams.
And then, but potentially seeing Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, and like Jalen Hurts all in Mobile is so exciting.
Yeah, very much.
And Anthony Gordon, I shouldn't leave him out, because he's a guy who could really. I think that's such a good place for a guy of his skill set to really show it off.
Yeah, absolutely, 100% agree. Because I don't know. People are kind of all over the place with Gordon right now. I got him in the early fifth ish.
I think we both like him a lot, but then we see how some people like him, and then we feel like we don't really actually like him, but then we see how other people don't like him. So we're somewhere in the middle.
We're in the middle, and I want to see a lot more from him, because a lot of the tools are there, and he's fun to watch, and he's interesting.
Most definitely. And with, you know, Benjamin, that's just a guy who we've seen so many flash plays, really suffered from poor offensive line play this year, but if you watch the games, it really puts the stats into perspective and
it does.
Why you shouldn't box score scout. His just combination of contact balance, short area quickness, and explosiveness, I think he's a guy who could instantly energize a backfield. Kind of like Devin Singletary. Not like that I'm necessarily saying they're the same style, but a guy who ends up going like the third round and just is clearly the guy in the backfield pretty early on in his NFL career.
Yeah, I think Benjamin, where he lands and like his fit in an offense, I think both are going to be pretty interesting.
I am big on his just contact balance, his elusiveness. I think he has really good vision. He runs hard for a smaller back.
Very hard, yeah.
And he's really instinctual as a runner, I find, as well. Pass blocking is kind of the big thing there.
What else is new?
But also, like, the lack of size. But again, today you're generally pairing running backs to some extent anyway, and that's why kind of see him at minimum having a Devin Singletary like influence in a backfield.
No, fair enough.
Okay, on to our NFL Week 13 rookie superlatives, starting with the rookie QB rundown, and let's start with Dwayne Haskins, who in a 20-15 loss to the Green Bay Packers, threw for 170 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Was another fairly rough outing for Haskins. The touchdown came late in the game on an amazing catch by Terry McLaurin. That drive was basically just, I think two checkdowns to Chris Thompson and three big completions to Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, and I mean, the catch by McLaurin was not a great throw.
No, it was an amazing catch.
It was just a hell of a fucking catch. I mean, you got to be underwhelmed by Haskins, but again, we say every week.
You just kind of have to throw out the, especially because it's Washington. We've talked about it. It's kind of like when Jared Goff was with Jeff Fisher and the Rams, and it just took them bringing in. Not that Jared Goff's some great top 10 quarterback, but obviously Jared Goff is so much better than what people thought he was going to be after his rookie year.
Absolutely.
And that next hire is everything to Dwayne Haskins' development.
I want to see one like real solid outing from Aston.
Just a couple of throws, like a series, you know?
Yeah.
Not that he looked poor on that touchdown drive late against the Packers. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked good. It just, like, a lot of it was two easy throws to Chris Thompson. Not like, you can't knock that when it's the right decision. It's just, like, you're not, like, blown away by that type of play. And then, like, no, a lot of... You came away more impressed by Terry McLaurin on that final drive, obviously.
Yes, for sure.
But, yeah, Haskins, it's hard to judge a guy like that right now in that situation with that poor of an offensive line and coaching staff and ownership.
Yeah, it all comes down to year two for Dwayne Haskins.
Yes, and getting the right coach in the building. Yeah. Okay, next, though, I think by far the most impressive rookie quarterback outing of the week, Drew Lock. In a huge win over the Texans, threw over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's 2-0 as a starter. And he flashed last week. We talked about that a little bit. Obviously led the game-winning drive with the old Joe Flacco DPI play.
Underthrown DPI, yeah.
But this week against the Texans, he just brought it.
Yeah, maybe the most impressive rookie quarterback performance of the season. He's up there, though. Like, hell of a game.
I think one of the best things about it was his use of Noah Fant.
Yeah, I mean...
We're going to talk about Noah Fant, I'm sure, in a bit. But yeah, just knowing that in one game... Because I know there have been... We've talked about it. Fant struggled. He's been very up and down this year. We've seen flashes at times. But just in one game, Broncos fans now feel very confident moving forward because of the goods Drew Lock showed off, the mismatch ability of Noah Fant, and you already know Dalton Reisner's a hit.
It's true. Not to jump the gun, but the touchdown throw to Fant was an absolute laser beam.
It was awesome.
Put it perfectly in there.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about it. Yeah, and we saw it a bit with Cortland Sutton last week. Like at one point this season, it looked like this Broncos offense was going to be in hell going forward. And now it's starting to feel like, well, okay, Cortland Sutton's a legit wide receiver one developing. You've got this Noah Fant character who's...
You see the explosive plays.
With the potential to be a complete mismatch. You know you're set with Phillip Lindsay in the backfield. The offensive line's still got issues, definitely. Like, Garrett Bowles is terrible. Mm-hmm. But you at least have Dalton Reisner going forward. Now Drew Lock in that arm. Like, I can't get over his combination of athleticism and arm talent.
I'm really impressed by how poised and just relaxed and impressive he's looked this quickly.
Yeah, the best part about him, he's not gun shy, but it's not to the point where he's forcing stupid shit. Like, he is making good trusting decisions. His arm. Yeah, trust his arms, trusting his receivers. And he's the moment doesn't seem too big for him. He's instantly made this Broncos team. They were not fun to watch at various points this season, and all of a sudden they're very fun to watch, and it also helps their defense look really good against the Texans. And Kareem Jackson played the game of his life in a revenge game scenario.
Revenge game, baby.
And maybe Vic Fangio, if he can keep cooking with this defense, and Skaggs has this offense going under Drew Lock, like, there's real hope and endeavor, and all of a sudden they're not, like, even if they're picking top 10, they're not necessarily taking... They're likely not taking a quarterback. I think it would be shocking if they did.
Drew Lock's been too impressive for them to give up on him, obviously.
And now they can use that potentially top 10 pick on an offensive tackle or another pass catcher even.
Wherever.
Start developing this offense.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, we have Detroit Lions undrafted rookie Dave Blau. He impressed us a bit. Last time we saw him,
fell back down to earth
a little bit in a loss to the Vikings. two picks, didn't look very good. But this is the type of outing you expect from an undrafted rookie. Honestly, it's probably better than you expect from an undrafted rookie.
Yeah,
not named Duck.
Yeah, why not? He's like, it's fine. You know, you're not expecting him to win games. Really, he's out there. He's not throwing a bunch of picks. He's completing passes. Oh, they threw the ball 40 times too, which is kind of surprising. But I mean, when you're down in the game, it's not a bad game. You got to give Dave Blau some credit.
Yeah, it's Blau season. But yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't a good game, but
no,
it's hard to rip on it.
I'm not going to.
More importantly, Gardner Minshew lost to the Chargers 45-10. I don't want to talk about it.
It's a really, really bad performance top to bottom from the Jags.
Yeah, fire everybody.
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying that they haven't already.
Yeah. I'm not surprised, though. They should have done it last year. So, yeah, Minshew wasn't great, but again, the whole team was bad, so.
I think it's really interesting. Like, what do they do going forward with the quarterback? If you are Tom Coughlin, what are you doing?
I'm showing up early, first and foremost.
That's what I was looking for. That's all I needed.
Dude, I don't know. I think it's a tough question. Obviously, you know Nick Foles isn't the answer. But I think... I don't know. I think you punt this year. You see what you got for another year.
I kind of do too. You get the rate. I think I don't want to be Tom Coughlin. If I was Shad Khan,
fuck, I can suck with Tom.
Yeah, you're Tom. I fired you. I'm cleaning house. Yeah. The first thing I'm doing is finding the GM I am most comfortable with in a combination. Like Shad Khan's really. Like they care about analytics in Jacksonville, so getting a not super old school guy in Tom Coughlin and not just like a puppet in Dick Caldwell, and getting a guy you're super comfortable with, then getting that coach in there, and then obviously evaluating the quarterback class. And if you're not in love with anybody, like if you're in love with someone, you have a top 10 pick, go get them.
Yeah,
like I know you've paid Nick Foles stupid money. Get like it is what it is. Don't let that fuck with your growth going forward anyway.
Yeah, no, agree.
And then with the Minshew thing, you've seen him, but if there's a quarterback out there you love, go get him. And if not, roll with this again, and then you have a whole year of evaluating that GM and that staff, and that staff, and then that quarterback class in the upcoming.
Yes,
and potentially, exactly. Hey, you might end up with Trevor Lawrence. Who knows?
Exactly. Yeah, that was my thinking too. Is that like, if Minshew isn't the answer and he shits the bed completely, then you're picking in a good spot to get Fields or Trevor Lawrence.
And you've got a backup going forward in Minshew.
Yeah, you do.
And again, this performance not great from Minshew. He's still fun to watch. I know it was it got out of hand quick, and they were never really in it. I still think it's definitely the smart move to be starting him the rest of the season because you know Nick Foles isn't the guy.
Again, like if depending where they're picking, and like if Tua slides because of injury and he's there and you like him, don't pass on
him. Yes, if you're in love with the guy, take him.
Yeah, exactly. Again, if it's, you know, the quarterbacks go quick and you're sitting at what 8, 9, 10, whatever they could be, then you know, don't. I don't even think I'd trade up if it's really expensive, you know.
Well,
if you're in love with a guy, yeah, that's fair.
Well, that's the whole argument we're making.
No, I know. I'm saying.
So you're saying you wouldn't trade up if you were in love with a guy?
It'd be hard to though.
But if you're like, if you think this is the guy, you have to go get him. It doesn't matter. No, nothing else matters.
I think that's. Yeah, no, I agree. In any situation, it's just like I think it would cost him a lot, obviously, because of the quarterbacks and who's picking where. Anyways, let's move on.
But there's not a lot of quarterback needy teams ahead of them.
I guess. I guess we think Burrow's going to go one, and you're not going to be able to get there. I think two is the question, right?
Well, or like if they're in love with Justin Herbert.
Or Herbert, yeah.
Or whoever. Yeah. I think that the first thing they need to do is go get a new GM and head coach. I think we're on the same page about that.
Yeah,
and enough of Jaguars corner. Okay, finally, the last two rookie quarterbacks played against each other. Duck Hodges against the Cardinals in Kyler threw for .152 and a score, completed over 80% of his passes and just did what he was supposed to do. Didn't shit the bed like Mike Tomlin asked him not to. Played safe, careful football, but you like
efficient.
Efficient, used his legs well, got the ball to his playmakers in space. Yep. And this is an offense that's without James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster, and they lost Vance McDonald to a concussion, and he's still, I mean, he is so much, like, he's obviously not great or anything, but it is a joke that Mason Rudolph was a third-round pick, and this is an undrafted rookie, and Mason Rudolph spent a year in the system already.
Yeah, it's, the big takeaway is that Mason Rudolph's got to be pretty embarrassed.
Like, I would be surprised if Mason Rudolph's on the team next year.
I agree with you, and I would be surprised if Doc isn't on the team next year, Rob.
They shouldn't have traded Josh Dobbs.
Ooh, yeah, Fair enough.
No, I mean, Josh Dobbs never did anything. I just like Josh Dobbs.
He's a rocket but scientist. Yeah,
Duck's doing exactly what Duck's supposed to do. And it looks like you've got a really safe backup going forward for a long time.
Hey, we get Sunday Night Duck.
I know. It's I love that this game all of a sudden, like, it's actually a really important game.
Yeah, I mean, like, against a really good defense, it's going to be a fun week to see. Yeah. Like,
Bills Steelers, baby.
Bills,
oh, Bills Steelers Titans. Those three are fighting for two spots.
They are. Yeah. And also, if we get Duck in the playoffs, that's going to be really fun.
Yes, because he'll win the Super Bowl.
Imagine.
Okay, Kyler, it was an up-and-down game against the Steelers. Obviously, the Steelers have one of the five best defenses in football, arguably the best over the last couple weeks especially. Three picks, two scores, just under 200 yards.
Yeah.
He really just didn't have time a lot. Like, he also threw some bad interceptions. Like, it's not just on the offensive line. He made some poor decisions. One of the interceptions came late when the game was definitely over.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's hard to, I know a lot of people were shitting on Kyler and Cliff early. Then it started to flash and look good.
Yeah.
And they started to crown them. And now they're starting to shit on them again. And it's like, give them another year. Let them get at least one starting caliber offensive lineman. Let them work on building that receiver core. It's a young group with Larry Fitz, and they I think they need another guy in there, too. It's like Haskins in the way that sometimes, based on situation, you just have to wait another year. And you've seen the flash from Kyler Murray. Like, I think Kyler Murray's clearly legit. I think at this point, it's more of a question about Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think you've seen enough from at least Kyler, maybe Cliff, that you believe in them for a couple years.
Yeah, no, I would not be giving. I still believe in Cliff as well. The offensive line is so bad.
Yeah, like the situation's bad. Like when you hired him, you knew what he's walking into. The whole thing is bad. When Murray was drafted, you knew it was a shit situation. When you drafted Rhodes, and you knew it was a shit situation. So this is just a rookie performance, and it's not even that bad of a one. It's underwhelming, but like, it's not a bad game, and he's going to look like a rookie. Just because he got hot in the middle, it's not time to kill him again. Like,
yeah, no, definitely.
You have full faith in Kyler Murray going forward.
Without question. Okay, yeah. Lots of quarterbacks. It's crazy that, like, I feel like most years, in the future, when we're doing this podcast forever, like, the next couple of years of this podcast, like, we're not going to be doing, like, more than, like, three quarterbacks most weeks. We've done 7 and 6 the last 2 weeks. We've done, like, no less than 5 for most of the season.
I know. It's been a lot of rookie quarterbacks playing.
It's fun. It's fun. That's...
And, like, how many guys in total has it been? Like, 8? Is it only 8?
I don't know. You're asking me that on the spot. There's no way I can figure this out.
I was more asking myself.
Okay, well,
you add Finley, you add Daniel Jones to this list.
That brings us to 8.
I did math.
But there might be more. I just can't remember.
Me neither. Okay, let's move
Brandon
on.
Brandon Allen was an NBA rookie, technically, by NBA rules.
It's true. So, yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know if you count that.
I don't, but that's a good
point. But if you were to, it'd be 9.
If I were to, it would be 9. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, who was your offensive rookie of the week?
Drew Lock.
Okay, sorry. I should have said this before you announced yours, but really good week.
You know what's funny? Last week it was like loaded with defense.
It's the other way around this week.
They just flipped. I know. It's a great week for it, but it's hard to not give it to Drew Lock.
See, I gave it to him last week.
I know. I didn't.
So. I should have held off.
Yeah. I played it cool. I waited for the buzz to hit me. And look at him go off.
I think it's pretty hard not to pick Drew Lock this week. But because I picked him last week and I figured you would this week, I went a different direction. I think there's multiple receivers you could look at.
Yes, I agree.
And also Noah Fant.
Yes. I don't have Fant anywhere else. So
Hard to find a spot for him. I don't know if I do either.
It was hard for me to find spots for a lot of these guys, so I kind of cheated a little bit. You'll see in a bit.
That's okay. And this show, the college football NFL draft superlatives, I care if you cheat, but here I don't.
Yeah, I just make stuff
no up. Rules on this show.
Okay, so we can talk about, a little more about Phantom Lock. Again, that touchdown pass was beautiful. Phantom almost dropped it, but doesn't matter. That's a great overall performance from Phantom. Four catch, 113 yards, and that aforementioned touchdown just looked like what you expected Noah Phantom to look like.
A complete
right?
athletic mismatch.
Exactly. Big old horse running down the middle of the field. You know, the one play on the sideline, where his first catch of the game, where it went off for like, what, 60 yards, where he kind of just... The DB misplayed it, rolled off him, went down the sidelines. Exactly. The athleticism and the big playmaking ability was just all on display here for Noah Phan.
So I think with him and Sutton both being kind of height, weight, speed options, I think entering the draft, they need to try and find that slot / Z type receiver who kind of what Emmanuel Sanders, a younger Emmanuel Sanders, obviously not to that caliber, but like that type of. Can play inside, can play outside, wins with route running. Mover. Yeah, chain mover, definitely. That's the type of guy you're looking for if you're the Broncos moving into the draft, I think.
Agree. Okay. Yeah, get Drew Lockie's, like, safety blanket.
Yeah. Because it's really, right now, after Sutton and Fan, it's kind of just a bunch of guys.
And Deshaun Hamilton.
Oh, what has he done?
Nothing. I love him so much. I don't care. Yeah.
Okay, so because I didn't want to pick Lock again, I figured you would. I was looking at a couple different receivers. I landed on Titans receiver A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. 5 catches, 153 yards, 2 scores. Also had a nice little reverse for 13.
He did.
I picked him because, okay, obviously they had that huge play-action deep pass where Tannehill hit him for 6. Yeah. But it wasn't just that. You saw the yak ability. You saw what he could do as a mismatch because of how big he is.
Yes,
how big and smooth moving he is for his size. He's like a Juju Smith-Schuster type.
Breaking tackles, too?
Yeah, he's a yak monster. I think that was like the one thing everyone agreed upon with him coming out of Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And he's just, I mean, you tried to tear him down last week. You did, did. You can't deny it.
Hold on a sec. I'll address this later.
That's scary. I don't like that.
No, he's... Okay, I'll do it now if you want, Rob.
Well, if we're talking about him, why would you not do it now?
He's my looks like a miss for me, because he was great.
You shit on him last week.
I know. Okay, hold on. Let me address. Last week, you gave me heat. Others gave me heat, too, because he thought I was shitting on him. I didn't mean to shit on him. He's been very good. I didn't think he was in that top tier of rookie wide receivers. It was a slight by me, not a shit. Whatever it was, I was obviously very, very wrong. And I was also really wrong about him.
He is the Titans' number one wide receiver. Sorry, Corey Davis fans.
And I am one of those people. I was too low on A.J. Brown pre-draft. Like you talked about, continues to be an explosive weapon. Like you said, the 91-yard touchdown. Like I said, breaking tackles. Being that yak guy, we saw it all.
Also, shout out to Arthur Smith, who's called awesome games with Tannehill. They run more play-action pass than anyone. And as analytics guys, we know running play action pass is one of the smartest things to do, no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if you can't run the ball, you do not need to be able to run the ball for play action to matter.
That was like that's such a stupid concept when you think about it, anyways.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
So, anyways, I didn't mean to shit on him last week. I slighted him, and I was wrong for it. So, he's my looks like a miss this week.
Okay, I respect now? That. Yes. Okay. I would never admit to missing on a guy the way you just did.
I was like a round too low on him too, so it was bad.
It's okay.
Hey, can I give you a little Drew Lock tidbit that I didn't get to say earlier?
Yes.
It's not that cool. He's the first rookie to pass for at least 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in his first career road start.
Wow. I think I heard that and it's very impressive.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, who's your defensive rookie of the week? Like you said, it was a tougher week. No one like really blew it away. There was a couple splashy performances, flashes, and whatnot. But I'm very interested to see who you've got.
Yeah, I totally agree. No one blew me away. Like I said, it was a big defensive week last week. And this week was a big offensive week. It took some deciding, but I landed on Jeffrey Simmons.
Okay, so mine came down to him in my actual pick. So I'm glad you picked him because I didn't.
Okay. He had 5 tackles. He had a sack, 2 TFLs. The sack came when the game was still tied in the third quarter. So 3rd-and-1. Bit of a coverage sack, But he still just got underneath Gabe Jackson, overpowered him. Carr stepped up.
Yeah, go also, ahead. He's, like, I think I mentioned maybe 2 weeks ago now, he's just mm-hmm. a guy who always outplays the box score.
Yeah, for real. Like, he burst onto the scene and he had, like, what, sacks in his first two games?
I think so.
And then after that, exactly that category. And, like, this game was a solid statistical game and he looked really good. Yeah, Carr tried to step up. He got him. Gabe Jackson just couldn't. Got underneath him and blew him back a bit. And he's been really good this year.
100%. He's such a powerful player mm-hmm. already. And obviously, he tore his ECL, 9 months ago. Like, yeah. I can't wait to see how good he is in year two.
Yeah, I know, for real.
My pick was Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa was my second
pick. Yeah, to me, it was really... Those two were kind of the... only guys I think you could really argue this week.
Yeah, agreed. Because, I mean, like, Bosa didn't light up the box score at all. He had, like, two tackles. But it was a really, really strong game.
That's, like, half his games. He's had, like, a handful of massive statistical games for sure. But, like, every game, he's a guy who just outplays the box score every time.
Yeah. He's impacting the game a lot. And, like, that big play was the third and one also, actually. Big TFL on Taysom Hill while simultaneously drawing a holding flag from Ramchick.
Yeah, it was impressive. Which was
just awesome.
And he was getting after it. The Saints have, to me, the best offensive tackle duo in the league, and Tron Armstead and Ryan Ramchick. And he was getting after both of them.
Both of them, yeah.
And, again, just two tackles at TFL in that pass breakup. But it was so much more than that. And obviously they gave up a ton of points, but it's this... It was a hell of a fun game. But he made big plays in big moments.
Yep, absolutely. And a game of the year.
Yeah, I think so. Defensive Rookie of the Year is his.
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe the stat dip knocks him out of the overall Defensive Player of the Year, but Defensive Rookie of the Year is locked.
Yeah. I think that's a fair take. Okay. Yeah. Now let's get mean. Who's the worst rookie you saw?
Actually, it's going back to A.J. Brown. I'm going with Trayvon Mullen because A.J. Brown just kind of goofed him the whole game.
In Trayvon Mullen's defense, a lot of it was against Daryl Worley.
Yeah, but it was like the yak stuff Mullen just couldn't handle.
Mullen's also, I swear to God, he is called for at least one penalty every single week.
Yeah, he's been pretty heavily penalized. Like, exactly. It was the touchdown wasn't on Mullen, but it was just a lot of the after the catch stuff he just couldn't
break down. He's a guy we didn't think was was ready to play.
No, I'm not he's been better than
I anticipated. No, I'm not I've picked him for this category multiple times, I'm pretty sure. I'm not trying to defend him or anything. I just it just the Raiders DB situation has been so strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, my pick is Benny the Smell Snell.
Didn't you call him a miss 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, because people were trying to hype him. I didn't think he looked that good in that game. But then
he didn't, Rob. You fell for it.
Yeah, against the Cardinals, he's a snail. Snell the snail. He is not explosive. He doesn't make people miss. He's a third string running back He's a third string running back at best. Like, Kareth White, way more impressive than him.
I agree. I couldn't find any spot for White this week, but
I've got one, don't worry.
Yeah. Okay, I know which one, so we'll talk about him later.
I don't think he's the answer, and Jalen Samuels doesn't look like it either. I think Kareth White's the guy who's flashed the most between those three by far this year.
Can I say something a little weird? And then this just popped in my head. Maybe I'm way off base. It's almost like they tried to recreate James
Conner. No, that is. I swear to God, that's when they drafted him. That's what a lot of. As a Steelers fan, I follow a lot of Pittsburgh stuff on Twitter, and that was a lot of people were really Pittsburgh folk, very high on the Snell, kind of felt like for that reason. But James Conner was so much better in.
And
being a power back, but also just a more athletic guy.
Yeah, no, for sure. I didn't love the James Conner pick. I was wrong about that.
I thought it was around too early.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, but Snell, I agree with you. Just no explosiveness. Like, obviously, he was just such a workhorse for Kentucky, but, like, I don't know. I don't see much with him, and I agree with you. So.
Okay, primetime star. Hard.
Easy one, Rob.
Hard not to pick our boy, Darius Slayzone Slayton.
Slayzone. 154 yards, 2 touchdowns. You thought like an idiot. It's like, oh, Daniel Jones is out. There should be no chemistry between Eli and Slayzone. Wrong. All magic, all night long.
The yak touchdown was especially fun.
Exactly. Like, I was going to say, like, you know, he was doing his classic 9-route damage that we knew that he could do. Well, maybe we didn't. We thought he could do it, but not catch the ball. But then it was so much more because, like, the yak move was just, like, easy money.
Yeah, so, yes, he had the yak touchdown, and then later in the game he just blew by the Eagles secondary where there was clearly a coverage bust, and he just took advantage and helped Eli put up some numbers.
He had the other one that wasn't a touchdown, that was deep throw. And, like, doing the subtle stuff, too, just moving the chains a bit.
He's a very good looking football well-rounded player.
Yeah, looking like really like a really well-rounded wide receiver, and I don't think either of us gave him enough credit for that.
But like, between him, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, like, and Evan Engram, they're legitimately set with their receivers. Saquon's obviously their running back, and they're rolling, like, they have to roll with Daniel Jones. The only thing they need to work on with that offense, other than staying healthy, is that offensive line and the coaching staff and play calling and whatnot, but.
Those three receivers complement each other pretty well too.
Yeah, they're fun. It could be a fun offense in theory.
I love, like, in this Monday Nighter. I know this is off topic, and everyone knows I love Golden Tate, but he just works so much harder than like all the Eagles DBs. Like that one throw that should have been a pick, and I think it was Mills just waiting on it, and Tate came back, didn't make the catch, but he caught the ball and fell out of bounds. Yeah, remember that one? I just love Golden Tate. Anyways,
Slayson. And the Eagles need to draft corners.
Only the Pursuit of the Ghouls competent, apparently.
Underwhelming performance.
Maybe, I don't know if this one's a fair one. I'm going back to that Raiders-Titans game, going back to that Raiders defense. I'm going to combine Max Crosby and Clelin Ferrell.
Max Crosby, I thought, played a really strong game in the first half against the run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to stand for my boy. And that's
no,
that,
I
now go off you, queen. I like saying that.
You're such a memester, Rob.
I know. I know what the kids say.
No, Crosby, like, again, he's been absolutely amazing this year. That's why it's the underwhelming performance category. I'm not shitting on him. Like, they have 3 combined tackles. Go ahead,
sorry. I was going to say pass rush-wise, definitely.
Yeah, that's where I'm, yeah. Farrell got a couple pressures.
He had a, but, on that huge Tannehill to A.J. Brown touchdown, he did get pressure on Tannehill and light him up, so.
Yeah. It's true. But honestly, as I was about to say, they needed more than that to stop Ryan Tannehill from carving them up, baby. So just like, I don't know, when that defense needed a guy to step up, neither of them could.
I think it just doesn't help that they don't really have a veteran guy on that defense who can step up.
No, that's a
good... Like, it's very young
unheralded.
Or just bad people playing.
Who's your underwhelming performance?
I went with two DBs that I love both of them. First, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson for the Saints.
Agreed. I considered him.
Some poor penalties. Also, that big George Kittle play at the end that really sealed it. Yeah. So, he's been so good this year. So, it was just a little underwhelming. Really hard matchup for him. He was... They asked him to cover Kittle for a lot of the game.
Yeah.
That's honestly the best tight end in football.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, it wasn't him getting gashed most of the time by that
same what made me put him here was just the penalties being the mistakes and the missed tackles.
He was my next up choice. I was just like, maybe I was a little critical of him, so I didn't put him, but I'm like, it's fair. I agree with
you. We expect so much from him because we love him.
It's true.
I also put Byron Murphy. He really struggled against Deontay Johnson, and a little more on him in a second. He missed some tackles and kind of seemed out of sorts.
Yeah.
Sucks when there's a rookie who shows flashes, but, like, they clearly hit a rookie wall, and if they're on a bad team, it's hard to kind of rebound from that.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, this late in the year, they're not used to playing football still. Like, it's hard to knock a guy like that. And like you said, when it's on a bad team, it's not easy.
Yeah, Byron's used to just winning the Apple Cup and having a few weeks off for the big Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, it's true. Or the Rose Bowl.
Okay, who's looking like a hit for you?
You know what? I went back to Devin Singletary this week. I know it wasn't the most amazing. You're
using the same guy you've used?
I know. That's
It's like the one category you're not supposed to. Okay. Learn the rules. Rule number one, there are no rules. No, I don't.
Yeah, but Rob, I have so few hits. I got to pick from the scraps. Not surprised. No, I don't know. Not a lot of the guys I love showed up this week. Who's yours? Maybe watch me someone I like, and I'm going to feel
well. Deontay Johnson.
Last week that was your guy, not mine.
Last week we talked about him. Yeah, and I said he flashed. He felt like he was kind of hitting a wall because he struggled last week, and then he rebounded like to perfection. Had the 85-yard punt return touchdown, 6 for 60 and a score. Awesome. The touchdown grab was really great. Body control by him.
Yep.
And he's a guy where everyone freaked out when the Steelers took him in the third round, which was higher than I had him. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you, AJ, because I know you know. If you didn't know, I would lie. but I love the fit, and I trust the Steelers to develop these types of receivers, and he fits the mold of what they've done well with, and like the Antonio Browns, the Emmanuel Sanders, that style of receiver. And it's really starting to look like it's going to pay off.
I have him later, and I fudged it a bit. Okay. So.
I also put Nate Davis down because he's a rookie who's not really garnering any attention. And that run game with Derrick Henry, the offensive line's been a lot better as of late. And Nate Davis has just been a run-mauling machine at right guard for them.
It's a good pick. We haven't talked about him at all.
Well, he struggled when he first got thrown in the lineup, especially in pass protection, but now he's really starting to find his groove as well. The whole offense is too, which helps. But he just, as a run blocker, he's doing what I think we both thought he could do. I mean, that Ben Grubbs comp's looking pretty strong right now from me. Fuck.
That's a good comp.
Thanks. Okay, who's looking like a miss?
I told you mine, AJ Brown.
No, I'm sure you got more, though, like probably 10. I put down J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Okay, I've used him before, so.
The rookie receiver renaissance is happening, and he's not a part of it. He had that one kind of cool catch on Monday Night Football. But ultimately, it's just when they need receivers to step up, it's never him. He's not running clean routes. He's struggling to separate. I don't think Carson Wentz trusts him, and rightfully so. And it's him and N'Keal Harry both. I know N'Keal Harry got robbed of a touchdown technically, but both of them are struggling to get on the field, and it's really coming down to, I think, route running and ability to separate, and just their quarterbacks trusting them.
Yeah, I mean, with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he's a guy that you need to trust to make him effective too. Because a lot of what he does is just that boxing out, jump balls. And, I mean, the one throw, I think it drew a penalty from Wentz on the right sideline. I know it's a bit of a – it was a dive, but, it's one of those plays, you expect him to make. On his tape last year, the contested catches, the tough catches, and he didn't pull it down. I agree. I've had him here before. Very disappointing rookie season. And like you said, Greg Ward is outshining him. That can't be a thing for this Eagles offense. No offense. I love
Greg Ward. I won the national championship in NCAA 14 with Greg Ward. So.
Everyone
and
has.
The Heisman. So. Okay, who needs to step it up?
Sick illusion, Rob. Because I'm putting the Patriots rookie wide receivers. Illusion. Mainly. Wait, well, yeah. That's, what does that mean?
An illusion is like you're not seeing a thing that's not there. No. It's an illusion.
Alluding. Illusion. No, it's an illusion. A-L-L. Anyways, N'Keal Harry, only one catch for 12 yards, got robbed of the touchdown, clearly. You took the words out of my mouth. He's not doing enough, and this is another team that needs
rookie wide receivers. No, an illusion is doing it without an indirect. It's explicitly, so wrong.
Foreshadowing.
No, because that's the same. Just segue. Just say segue.
No. Preview.
Okay. This is bad. Sorry, I interrupted your point because I was very confused. When you said illusion, I was just thinking we're watching magic tricks.
Good magic trick, Rob. And Jacoby Myers had no tricks up his sleeves either. No, but I mean, it's hard to put on Myers, but a catch for 35. But they just need one or two or multiple of these guys to step it because this Patriots offense is looking
bad. I think Tom Brady trusts Jacoby Myers so much more than
Harry.
But he struggled with drops too.
Yep. He after the Harry non-touchdown, he dropped the touchdown, and Brady looked so fucking pissed.
Yeah, it's just a bad time to be a Pats fan.
Can I throw another one in that's more mean, but I want to bring him up? Sure. Paris Campbell.
He's coming off the injury. I've got him somewhere.
Okay. All right. You want to save it, or can I do it now? We'll talk about when you got him. Go ahead.
I put down Quinton Williams, because it's just like they played the Dolphins, and it's a very quiet game from him, and that's one of the worst offensive lines in NFL history. And I know he's not consistently being put in the best place for him to succeed, but like he hasn't really had a game.
He hasn't, and he, I mean, Ed Oliver's starting to put games.
Okay. Ed Oliver's, if the season ended today, Ed Oliver's on your first team all rookie. Ed Oliver's been awesome.
Agreed. Yep,
and we talked about Jeffrey Simmons too.
Yeah, exactly, and they both outshined Quinton Williams. I'm making up words today, Rob.
No, I fact checked you. You're right. I was just confused, and you used it wrong.
I mean, it was close, but I used it wrong.
But yeah, like you expect at least not. It doesn't even need to be a full game. Just a couple flashes here and there, and it's been a lot of not in.
Impressive.
With that staff likely being back, it's kind of the worry kind of starts to build in the back of your head.
Yep. I know.
Okay, not ready to play?
All right, this is gripe season now, baby. I got two Seahawks defenders here. The first one, the easiest one, LJ Collier. He only played 9 snaps against the Rams. He's very much struggling.
The Seahawks know he's not ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, he's done absolutely nothing. Okay, so the main issue is he's obviously done nothing when he's on the field. He's already 24 years old. So that's just not a good situation to be in, Rob. But anyways, I'll also add Cody Barton. He played a majority of the game, 83%, with Kendricks out, obviously. He had 4 tackles, but the Rams just kept running outside the tackles. Barton couldn't make plays, and it was just too easy. And Barton's a guy they like a lot. And it's not like he was embarrassing on the field, but like it's not a good look for Barton. And like, stick to special teams for now, Cody Barton, because you're good at that.
Okay, I put Paris Campbell here.
Okay, this is a good one. Okay, so obviously just came off the injury, so it's hard to be.
He's done for the year now.
Yeah.
So it's I don't want to harp on it too much, but 3 for 12 against the Bucks, had a drop, just. You kind of, when they took him, you thought Frank Reich has a plan here.
Plan.
Maybe he's not going to be like their immediate starting slot or anything, but he's going to at least be a gadget play guy, and you're going to get a big exciting play here or there because of his yak ability and what he does when the ball is schemed to him. Yes, he needs to improve as a route runner, improve his hands, but there's a plan here, and they're just he never really. Seem to be healthy for any stretch, and now obviously he's on IR, and it's just they have a lot of work going forward. They've clearly fallen off. Jacoby Brissett doesn't seem to be the true answer. He's like a bridge quarterback for whoever they decide is the future, and luckily their offensive line is really set for the next handful of years as long as they bring back Anthony Costanzo. And they have tons of cap space, but I think you need to find a real wide receiver too, and then develop Paris Campbell kind of as that third guy who, again, gadget plays and all that, but he just wasn't ready this year.
No, for sure. Like, and they need playmakers so desperately right now.
But best day three rookie?
Darius Slayton's the correct answer, but I'll throw another name.
I copped out and only put Darius Slayton.
I respect that. I should have done that, but I think you had him last week. I just want to talk more Drew Tranquil, baby.
Yeah, you look good again, eh?
Yeah, third start of the year. 8 tackles all over the field. Blew out the Jags. He keeps looking good. Well,
he's athletic, and he plays really hard. And he's just kind of always finishing around the football.
Yep, he's a good football player, like we said.
Yeah, I love Drew Tranquil, and you do too.
Yeah, we do.
Wow, we're so freaking smart. Best UDFA rookie?
This is a one-hit wonder, baby. But one of your boys, I believe. Olamide Zaccheaus.
If you thought I didn't put him, you'd be a fool. I, of course, have him as well.
Exactly.
My guy.
One catch. 93 yards. Then it was a touchdown. Matt Ryan, hell of a ball, but...
it's a mismatch nightmare. Cool.
Yes, it's pretty cool to see the explosive play, and I want to see more of
him. I love him. I put him and Shai Tuttle.
Shai Tuttle's been pretty decent. Shai Tuttle's
pretty good.
Yeah, he is. He was a huge recruit, right?
Was he?
If I remember, I think he was. And I believe that's the only reason he's on
the roster. I don't want to objectify high school kids like you.
Fuck. I hate high school recruiting.
I secretly love it.
I hate it. Anyways. Yeah, Tuttle's been good.
Yeah, he was a big recruit.
Yeah, okay, I thought so.
He played in the Under Armour All-American game.
Yeah, I remember him, and he was obviously disappointing in college, but yeah. It's so interesting how those guys find their way onto an NFL roster and stick for a bit.
Still, like, when you're an athletic freak...
Yeah, the talent doesn't go away.
Yeah, you just... Really, it's so important that you end up at the right school that can actually develop and harness that talent, put you in the right spot to succeed.
Yeah,
Tennessee is not a place that does that. Okay, rookie who flashed. I mean, I put a lot down. There's a lot of guys who were just flashing this week.
Yeah, so my next two are a little bit fudge. I put Deontay Johnson here, which is a bit of a fudging.
Why?
Okay. Because it was just such a great game. I felt a little chintzy.
Flashed, that's what it means. Like, he flashed. Okay. Right. I just put guys who I couldn't fit somewhere else here that played really well. Like, I put Noah Fant here. I put Jeffrey Simmons here. I put Terry McLaurin here. Okay. I put McCole Hardman, Bobby Evans, and O'Shane Zimenez. I put a lot of names.
Those are all good ones. So let's just start calling it the overflow category. Okay. But yeah, you already talked about Johnson. He had a monster game, and then the punt return touchdown. Yes. Hell of a performance.
I'm gonna use my time here to mainly talk about Bobby Evans, the Rams right tackle.
He's been really good.
Really
man.
Good. And now Rams folk are starting to say maybe we should trade Rob Havenstein.
Ooh.
I don't know. It'd be hard because the contract, and he did not play well when he was healthy this year.
Yeah.
But Bobby Evans has looked very good.
Yeah, and like Edwards has not been bad, better in the run game.
He's been
though.
Fine, yeah.
Yeah. No, I honestly, I think we've talked with him before too. I liked Edwards as a tackle, I liked Evans as a guard. I look silly now. But I like them both, and they both look better, like good for rookies, and Evans really
yes,
good.
Yes, and then with O'Shane Zimenez, just because we talked about everybody else mainly, he flashed he had two sacks against the Eagles. He uses his hands really well. I wish they'd just get him on the field more consistently.
So, again, I flubbed it a bit. He's my out-of-nowhere rook. I know he's not pure out-of-nowhere, but I wanted to talk about him. Like you said, two sacks. Only played 30% of the snaps.
Oh, it's because, obviously they have Lorenzo Carter and Marcus Golden.
Golden had a good game, too. Yeah.
So, they're like, it's not like absolute nobodies are playing ahead of him. Yep. So, it is hard to kind of find him on the field. I guess over 50% of the snaps, but he's had like two or three games this year where I've really liked what I've seen.
Yeah, this is his best game. Yes. Got Jason Peters on one. Like you said, used his hand really well. Came back on the inside. Got to Wentz. Had a good game, man.
Yeah. My out-of-nowhere rook is Saints undrafted rookie Deonte Harris.
Oh, how did I miss him this week? Good pick. Thanks. I'm sorry.
Hugh would be the return specialist on the all-rookie team.
Correct.
Against the Niners, had average over 30 yards per kick return, over 18 yards per punt return, and Sean Payton snuck him in a little bit on that offense. He got a catch and a carry, and he's very exciting. He's quickly becoming one of the best. Like, when I vote for the Pro Bowl every day like I do, I always vote him as one of the return men.
I was glad that like they saw the spark from him and immediately got him on offense and went to
yes, him. No, that was cool. Sean Payton's smart. I've been saying it yep. for years. No one's been listening.
No, everyone's so stupid. They should listen to you, Rob.
Thank you. Okay, finally, start the Rook.
Okay, it's gripe season continued, baby. Going to Ugo Amadi again. All right, I already talked about Cody Barton filling in for Michael Kendricks. Again, played over 80% of the snaps. So that kind of even more baffling because the Seahawks just refused to play nickel. The Rams toasted them for it. Amadi's good against the run, too. And weirdly, after they cut Jamar Taylor a few weeks ago, Carroll hinted at Ugo Amadi getting more looks. It's resulted in zero. I don't think he's played a snap since week two. At least get him on the field a bit and see what he can do. Delano Hill played a couple snaps. Get Amadi out there. That's all I want. Just see him because you're not playing nickel in this
fight. I'm glad we both picked guys on our favorite teams. I picked Kareth White.
Yeah.
I don't – like, Benny Snell just doesn't have any juice. Jalen Samuels doesn't make anybody miss. Kareth White is at least explosive. And every time – every game he's had at least one carry where he flashes some juice. Yep. And the other running backs are adding nothing, so why not go to him?
Retweet, Rob. All right, before we get into our picks and previews for Week 15, I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes maybe too exciting, sometimes too stressful. But either way, if I got a gut feeling about a matchup, I'm just going to bet on my, maybe I'll just bet on my team because they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, my bookie is your best bet this season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, play them on the money line. Parlay them together because they let you bet a bunch of games together for a higher, much bigger payout. I feel like that's good money. Bet the big favorites. Put six of them together. Might work out. So if you're going to bet this season and do that, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Between bowl season, the end of the NFL season, the NFL playoffs, so soon, so close. Baseball futures if you want. NBA and NHL are in full swing. College basketball is starting. It's one of the best times of the sports calendar, baby. Get off the sideline, get in on the action with MyBookie. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Play on mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. All you got to do is use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All of our spreads are from MyBookie. I don't know why I'm talking in this tone. I had a terrible week last week, Rob. We had three pushes, which is really weird. How'd you do last week, Rob?
6-3-7.
Yeah, the pushes. Very weird. I'm not going to say mine. I had a shit week.
Yeah, if you make me say, you have to say yours.
Three wins only and three pushes. Do the math.
10.
it was a lot of close ones. It fucking sucked. It was annoying. Anyways, Thursday Night Football. Not the most exciting matchup, but you get to see a little Lamar Jackson. Jets at Ravens. Baltimore's minus 15.5.
Yeah, I don't know what the Jets are. The Ravens are fun. So I'd like to see them win by more than 15. So that's the logic I need.
So I think Baltimore is probably going to have the ball for 75% of this football game. Just choke this one out, and that sounded weird. And win by more than 15. Choke the game out, Rob. Should have said that during the Blue Chew ad. I know. Choke the game out. It's a saying. Now it is. I'm starting it. You're going to say it next week. Buccaneers minus 3.5 on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Detroit playing
the Lions. Jameis Winston's the most fun quarterback in the history of the NFL. He could do anything at any time and still win, apparently. That's enough for me because David Blau's not very good. Just when he's on the same stage as future Hall of Famer Jameis Winston.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm taking the Bucks as well. Eagles minus 5.5 in Washington.
I like how as we get closer to the end of the season, just some of these games are so irrelevant that we like that Bucks Lions game so irrelevant. We barely said anything.
I mean, do we have?
No, to? Like I'm happy. I hate talking.
Yeah, let's talk about Dwayne Haskins again for 25 minutes.
Yeah, hey, this is the game. That secondary sucks. I want to see Terry McLaurin and Kelvin Harmon getting deep targets. I want to see Dwayne Haskins kind of like flash a bit. It doesn't have to be a win. It doesn't like I think the Eagles cover, but
yep.
Like just show us something.
Okay. I'm going to say it. Haskins goes over 250.
I don't know. I was just reading on Twitter that Josh Allen's never thrown for 300 yards in a game, so Dwayne Haskins thrown for 250 feels like a lot. I'll say 220.
Two touchdowns, zero interceptions. Also, I brought up Singletary earlier because Josh Allen was so fucking garbage against the Ravens. I wanted to talk about that, but we didn't.
The stat also showed the total teams, including college, that he's thrown for over 300 against. It was Gardner Webb and like UNLV, and that was it.
Go Rebels! So the Bears at Packers, Green Bay's minus 4.5.
Give me the Packers.
Agreed.
The Bears are still in the hunt when you see that graphic. Not after this week.
All right, big cat. Agreed.
Whoa, you just have a part of my take.
I'd never heard of the show. Well, I knew it was a show, though. Fuck, I'm fucked now. Patriots minus 9.5. On to Cincinnati. Maybe.
They filmed them.
I don't want to talk.
The Pats win. They filmed them.
Why were they trying to cheat to beat the Bengals?
Just do your job. It's a documentary.
They were filming B-roll, Rob. B-roll. They couldn't do it this week.
Yeah, whatever they film, that's what gets my Oscar vote.
Retweet. Patriots cover. Texans at Titans.
A game that matters.
Interesting. A game matters, yeah.
The Titans could win the division still.
Yeah, they could.
And like you said, Titans minus 3, and I'll take that. I like this Titans team all of a sudden.
You know what? I was thinking, I've done it too many times, and it's burned me picking against the Titans. I'm like, I'm not going to do it this week. But I came in, I'm like, Houston's got to bounce back. So I'm tricking myself into picking against the Titans again. I'm taking Houston.
I just love this Ryan Tannehill renaissance, and they're probably going to extend him. And like Arthur Smith's all of a sudden a good OC, and Derrick Henry's
so fucking
Heisman weird. Derrick Henry. And like we talked about A.J. Brown already, obviously. And that defense is so legitimately weird. Good.
It is.
Underrated. And I love Harold Landry.
We do. I'm taking Houston. Seahawks, minus 6.5 in Carolina for the annual Panthers at home game.
Kyle Allen's starting, so give me the Seahawks. If Will Greer was starting, I'd still take the Seahawks, but at least I'd be more interested.
Yeah, I have to watch this game. I'm also taking the Seahawks. Broncos at Chiefs. KC's minus 9. Maybe the two best quarterbacks in the league right now. Who do you take?
I thought about it for half a second, but I'm not gonna get it twisted. I'm gonna take the Chiefs at home. If it was on the road, I would definitely be more interested in the game. But the Chiefs can't drop this game, and I think at home, like they just like I don't think like Drew Lock plays poorly or anything, but the Chiefs defense has been playing a lot better lately too.
Like the line, the 9 points is tough.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But
I think like the Broncos are gonna get close to covering that. But again, I just you can't not trust the Chiefs here.
Yeah.
Game that doesn't matter. Miami in for draft positioning. Dolphins at Giants. New York's minus 3.5.
Eli's gonna start. That makes me sleepy.
I'm gonna
take the Dolphins.
Hey, never mind. That Monday night was fun with Eli. So
this Dolphins team might suck, but so does this Giants team. But like Brian Flores, I'm so much more confident in than Shermer, and Fitz is just better than Eli.
It's fair. I'm gonna take the Giants for no good reason, Rob. Home team. Moving on to the 4 o'clock. Jags at Raiders. This is kind of an interesting one because Oakland's minus 7.
I'm going to take the Raiders. I think that the Jaguars, like, they just didn't care last week. Yeah, it's over. Yeah. Doug Marrone gets fired after this game. Book it.
Okay, I like it. I'm also taking the Raiders to cover. Cleveland, minus 2.5 in the desert.
This Cardinals team just...
It's a tough line.
I'm taking the Browns.
Me too.
They need it. The Cardinals team is very just inconsistent. They're playing so many young guys. it's going to be a long learning process for this team. And I'd fire Freddie Kitchens even if they win this game, though.
Fair enough. Minnesota -3, taking on the Chargers. The
Vikings win this game.
I agree. The Vikings.
Sorry. I'm running out of gas. I've been up for 24 hours.
No, you're such a liar. Almost. Yeah, almost.
Three more hours.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Anyways, I'm taking the Vikings too. Let's get through it then, Rob. Falcons at 49ers. San Francisco -11.
I am taking San Francisco.
Me too. The Falcons.
I don't know. Calvin Ridley's on IR now. That.
Yeah. Sucks. Niners are pretty dinged up too. That was a.
Kyle Shanahan can scheme offense together. Against a bad defense.
Kyle Shanahan revenge game.
That's true.
Shanahan revenge game. Also, I think there's another game where they're just going to control the ball and choke the life out of the Falcons. Rams are -2 in Dallas.
Roll Rams. Jason Garrett gets fired after this game. Book it. I'm just going to guarantee. That's my analysis. Just call coaches firing.
I'm taking the Rams too. Bills at Steelers. A game we alluded to earlier, right, Rob? Pittsburgh's -1.5.
Sean McDermott gets fired after this game. Took it. No, this is actually, like we talked about, it's a fun game. Duck against a really good defense. Josh Allen gets a really good defense.
Yep.
These teams are built kind of similarly where it's just such great defense and really well coached.
And then wonky
offenses. Wonky offenses. Obviously, Josh Allen adds a running game in a way that really helps that offense make up for how bad a passer he is. And Devin Singletary's got more juice than any of the Steelers running backs.
It's Singletary versus Kareth White.
That's true. Good point.
That's cool.
But yeah, I'm going to take the Steelers just because home, and I think their defense is the best in the league right now.
Yeah, I think Devin's going to feel a little bad for Kareth White on his second team being his backup.
Josh Allen's going to throw a bunch of picks. He gets fired.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I'm taking the Steelers as well. And Monday Night Football, Colts at Saints, New Orleans -9.5.
I said it before and I'll say it again, no matter what the haters are saying about me. Sean Payton's really smart.
Man, you get a lot of heat for that take.
I'm going to take the Saints to cover this. The Colts are very discombobulated, very injured. The season's kind of a wash. The Andrew Luck thing really caught up to them quickly. On top of the injuries, of course. This Saints team, I mean, if they're going to be able to put up 40 against that 49ers defense, like I don't think the Colts offense can do that against the Saints defense.
Hey, I get a lot of heat for this tape, but Frank Wright's a pretty good coach. He knows what he's doing with backup quarterbacks. I get a lot of shit for that one, but no, I'm taking the Saints as well. I agree with you, Rob. All right, let's get out of here.
Okay.
That'll do it for some Reds in Heaven. I'm finishing the show now. Rob fell asleep. You can follow Rob on Twitter at RobPaulNFL. Follow me on Twitter at AJMarkKZ13. Go to ArmchairAllAmericans.com and listen to other great podcasts. And thanks for listening. Goodbye.